Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome to the Marriage and More podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up? What's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your host,
Sterling Smith
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage,
and a whole lot more.
And a whole lot more. You slipping, Mr. Smith. Come on, get with it, get with it.
I'm not slipping. You're just giving me bad cues.
whatever. Ain't nobody giving you no bad cues. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show, Marriage and More, with Sterling and Soretta. We do appreciate you taking time out of your day to tune in and to listen to our podcast. You can download the Bashani Radio app so that you can listen to us, you know, anytime, day or night, no matter where you are. Or you can go to BashaniRadio.com and check out the podcast. Or you can catch our podcast at all of the outlets where podcasts can be located. So what's going on, Mr. Smith? What's up? What's going on?
Life is life. I'm working hard and hardly working, but enjoying it.
All right. We just had Mother's Day. Mother's Day passed. We had a great weekend in North Carolina visiting with my mom and aunts and cousins and brother, dad. So we had a really good time. It was a little cold. The weather was cold.
Yeah, it was real cold.
Yeah, it was a chilly Mother's Day weekend.
It was like winter said, hey, I can't rear my head and let y'all know that I dominate.
And we had some pretty bad storms leading into Mother's Day here in our city. We had trees down and power lines down. And
golf ball size hail.
Yeah, it was like a microburst or tornado or something came through here.
I don't know what it was, but I know I pulled off the road because I thought my windshield was about to get broken. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't need to be on the move.
Yeah, tornado touched down in North Carolina while my cousins and them were on the road. So we just thank God that, you know, there were no casualties and that, you know, maybe some damage to property, but we can always replace property, but we can never replace people. So we thank God that, you know, nothing worse happened. So, but other than that, we had a great weekend and great work week, ahead of us. Lots of good things going on. We're getting closer to the debut of our new book, my children's book, The Black Sheep, where Sterling is actually a character in the book.
Farmer Sterling,
a black farmer. It's actually a tribute to Sterling because he's such a great supporter and always there supporting me. And so I wanted to do something to let him know how much I appreciate him. And so Farmer Sterling, and you can go to Amazon.com and check out the book. Purchase the book if you have kids or nieces or nephews or just, you know, family friends that have kids. It's a great book about loving yourself and being different, and it's okay to be different. And so, yeah, we're excited.
She got me in overalls and yellow boots.
Yeah, he's a pretty, you know, jazzed up farmer, y'all. So yeah, so you can check us out.
Overalls and yellow boots.
Hey, that's what farmers wear. They wear overalls and boots and hats and stuff. If you're a farmer, but at least I kept you a little bit fashionable.
The yellow boots, though.
Hey, that's what the illustrator came up with. So we're going to blame that on the illustrator. As always, you know, we like to give our disclaimer, you know, we are not licensed practitioners.
No, we're not.
Or clinicians.
None of that stuff.
Or therapists.
Nope.
We're sharing a lot about our own personal life experiences and things that work for us to help us maintain. As a matter of fact, Mr. Smith, guess what? Guess what? In 8 days, it will be our 28th wedding anniversary.
Yes, it will be. It will be.
Yeah, it'll be our 28th wedding anniversary. So we're just sharing these 28 years, you know, the things that we've gone through, the things that have worked for us, the lessons that we've learned, the good, you know.
And
the
listen to this one. We did our 10-year renewal vows on today.
Oh, wow.
May 10th.
No, we renewed our vows in June. No, it was in June. We didn't renew our vows in May. We renewed our vows in June, on June 10th.
Okay, June 10th.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, you know, women know them dates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I keep up with that stuff. Yeah, 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 yeah. So, yeah, we're about a week away from our 28th wedding anniversary. So, that's exciting. What else exciting is exciting? NBA playoffs?
Yeah, we're well into the playoffs. And I always say by round two, the cream is rising to the top and it's looking like Golden State.
Oh, God.
Is rising to the top.
Oh, somebody, please beat Golden State.
But the rest of the teams, they're all tied up. They're pretty much even. But Golden State is dominating Memphis.
Yeah. Well, they've got a few more teams that they've got to go through. So it's you know, I'm not saying they're going to take it all away and take it and win it all. At least I hope not. I hope somebody can step up and beat them because, you know, I'm not a Golden State fan. But anyway, so this week I thought we would talk about something that, you know, is very, very important. It's foundational for us as Christians, prayer. But not just any prayer. Prayers for couples, prayers for marriage. A lot of times, you know, people find themselves in situations in their marriage and they feel like, you know, I've done all that I can do. There's nothing left to do. When they find themselves, you know, maybe in some challenging times. And we've certainly been there. And I can remember that during those times where I felt like I was just ready to give up and call it quits, I always had my girlfriends, my sister friends, my sisters in Christ that encouraged me to pray and not give up. And it seems like, it happened for me that as I began to pray and focus myself towards God in prayers for our marriage, I began to see things get better. So I thought, you know what, let's do a show talking about prayer. How has prayer impacted our marriage for you?
I mean, it's the foundation. I mean, prayers, you can't go wrong with prayer.
No.
No matter what's going on, always pray. Whether it's good, bad, just pray. And you will find success in prayer. That's all I can say. Prayer is the foundation of anything. If prayer's in it, it's going to do well. It's going to be good.
I agree with that. The Bible says that men ought to always pray. He talks about, you know, make your requests made known unto God. He talks about prayers of supplication, prayers of intercession. So, you know, God is very clear about the power of prayer. And he said the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. So there's power in prayer. Prayer helps you to avail in situations. And so I believe in prayer. I've seen the power of prayer. I've seen the power of prayer work in our marriage and for us. And so there's 10 prayers for a marriage that I want to talk about tonight too, because somebody may say, well, I don't even know where to start. Like, where do I start praying for my marriage? I don't even know where to start. Well, we want to give you some places that you can start. And so the first place that you can start and pray for your marriage is you can pray that God would draw you and your spouse closer. And, you know, it's just, you know, come near to God and God's going to come near to you, you know, and just ask God, Lord, please draw us closer to God. Because when you're closer to God, you're not focusing on what somebody else is not doing. You're focusing on God and the goodness of God. And you kind of releasing, you know, what may not be happening or what you would like to see. You're releasing all of that and you're focusing it on God. And as you draw closer to God, as your spouse draws closer to God, then you're going to draw closer to each other.
I call it that synergy.
Yeah.
Just the synergy. Just that it'll bring God will come in it. It'll draw you to God. It'll draw her to God. And it's just a good thing, a joyful thing.
And when you're drawing near to God, you're asking God, because you start to take the focus off of the other person and you're putting the focus on you and you're saying, God, I want to draw near to you, God. God, clean my heart, God. Purify my heart, God. Take anything in me, God, that's not right. And so as you begin to do that, and then your spouse is doing that, and now you're both coming closer to God, and you're both asking God to work on you. And when you can begin to see yourself and to see the part that you're playing in whatever is going on in the relationship, you have to look at yourself first. So often we point the finger and we blame the other person. But, it's not always all on the other person. We have a part to play in it as well. So the first thing you want to do is pray that you would draw closer to God. Number two, you want to pray that your marriage will be a testimony of your faith. 1 Timothy 4:12 in the NIV, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So you want to pray that your marriage will be a testimony of your faith. We know faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And sometimes it may not seem like, it's working. It may not seem like it's going to get better, but you got to have faith and trust and believe in God, that God is working, that he's in the midst, that, he's moving in the marriage. And you want to pray, God, that your marriage will be a testimony of your faith.
Yes, because you got married on the principles of God.
Right.
God brought you together. So God is in your marriage. You just have to believe and have the faith that hey, I'm setting my eyes, she's setting her eyes on God. We're doing this as a whole. And once God gets in it, you just got to have the faith that it's there.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone talk you out of like saying, nah, that's not God. No, God was in your marriage. God brought you together. So just believe that he put you together for a reason and for a purpose, for his well-doing and your well-being.
All right. Number three, you want to pray that you would fulfill the responsibilities given to each of you, to given to each of us, that I would fulfill my responsibilities as a wife and that your husband will fulfill his responsibilities as a husband. Luke, you can reference Luke 12:48. It says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much, much more will be asked. And so the Bible is clear about what our responsibilities are. And this kind of goes back to what I said about a lot of times we like to point the finger and blame our spouse for what may be going on in the marriage when we should be praying, Lord, help me to fulfill my responsibilities. It's kind of like if I stay in my lane and do what I'm supposed to do.
And I'm in my lane doing what I'm supposed to do. We should be fine.
We should be fine. Yeah.
But don't try to come in my lane and try to navigate for me, because I can't drive your car in my car.
Right.
Because we're going to crash.
You're going to crash. I like that analogy. And so that should be your prayer. Lord, help me to fulfill my responsibilities, the responsibility that you've given to me as a wife. Help me to fulfill that. I mean, that in and of itself is enough. I mean, how anyone, trying to fulfill your spouse's responsibilities on top of yours, it's a recipe for
failure.
Failure, chaos, confusion. Yeah.
And arguing.
And arguments.
Lots of arguments.
Yeah. So pray that you would fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to you. Number four, pray that you would be content with little or much. 1 Timothy 6:7-8, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And so I've seen a lot of relationships go through tough times because maybe one spouse wants to live more and have more material things, like that they never have enough. So they're always working to get more, which takes them away from putting time into the marriage. They're never there to put time and spend that quality time because they're not content with what they have. They always want more. So pray that, you know, you'll be content.
I guess with marriages being new, people get caught up into that I got to have more. I got to have more because I'm trying to please this person, but not realizing they have everything that they need right in front of them.
Right.
Their spouse.
Yeah. And you know, especially if you get married young, like you're going to grow. Like you're going to see as your careers change, you know, as you get better jobs, you know, as you get wiser, more
mature.
Yeah. And more mature. Like you may not start out with a lot. I joke all the time about, you know, when we were in Germany, we had government furniture, like our couch. Our couch was government furniture.
Just about everybody had government furniture.
Well, yeah, just about everybody did have government furniture, but like literally, like we didn't bring any furniture with us. We didn't have any furniture.
No, we didn't.
Like we showed up, like and we knew, well, we'll get government furniture, but we set a goal for ourselves that when we left Germany,
we said we would build.
We said we were gonna buy one room at a time. We bought our clock, our grandfather clock. We paid that off. We bought furniture, leather furniture. We paid that off. Then we bought our dinette set with our hutch and all of that.
The shrunk.
And we systematically furnished our entire house. And we set a goal that when we left Germany, we would be debt free in terms of furniture.
We would have a house full of furniture.
Right.
A complete house.
Yeah, that we paid for. And so you got to be content, you know, with the little, because we could have very easily gone into a lot of debt, but we were content.
You got to be content, and both people got to have the same focus.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, number five, that we will run to God in times of trouble. You know, that pray, you know, God, in times of trouble, let me run to you. Psalms 91, 1 through 2, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And so a lot of times we run to our friends, we run to our siblings, we run to our parents. We run a lot of different places, and a lot of times we don't run to God. And sometimes when we run other places, we get bad advice.
And don't run to a single person.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the worst thing you can do. You run to a single person, run to somebody else that's having marital problems, run to somebody else that's in the midst of a divorce.
What's the saying? Misery loves
company. Yeah. So you got, you know, God is our shelter. He is our safety. He is a safe place. He's our refuge and our fortress. And so, you know, and I remember being times where I just fell on my knees and I just cried out to God. And I said, look, I don't know how I'm going to do this, you know. And so you got to pray that, you know, that you're going to run to God in times of trouble. All right. Number six, you got to pray for good health. Proverbs 16:24, it says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bone. So you got to pray for good health. The Bible says that it's God's desire that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prosper. And so you have to pray for good health. Now, when you pray for good health and Holy Spirit says, put that pork chop down.
And do some exercise. You got to do it.
You can't pray for good health now and then when Holy Spirit say, you can't have that fried chicken, you know, put them neck bones down, you know, and then you wrestling with Holy Spirit, but you pray for good health.
You got to play your role in that health when he tells you that, hey, you got to do this. You have to take heed to his word and do it.
Absolutely. Because, you know, we pray for good health and Holy Spirit start, you know, tugging at us. Okay, you need to put that salt down. You know, you need to put that pork down. Quit seasoning them greens with that, you know, with that fat back, you know, because my mom loves some fat back. So you got to, you know, in moderation. And it's not to say you can't ever have those things, but you know, I'm really leaning more towards a plant-based diet. I really want to move towards a plant-based diet. That's what I really want to try to start this summer. You know, I don't know how it's, you know, I don't know if I want to be completely vegan. I know that a lot of people that are vegan, you know, they've experienced some great benefits health-wise, but I do want to begin to change. I think especially being older, going through menopause, there's, you know, certain adjustments that I'm going to have to make in terms of my diet. And, because just the fact of being in menopause and, you know, the hormonal imbalances and changes are a strike against, you know, women who are going through that. And so pray for good health, but follow the leading and guiding of Holy Spirit. All right.
Yes.
Number seven, pray that you will stand strong against the pull of this world and the spiritual warfare that threatens your faith and your marriage. And that's Ephesians 6:10-12. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Y'all know the devil is always scheming. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Quit fighting people. It's not people. It's the devil working through people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So you got to pray that you're going to be able to stand strong against the pull of the world and the spiritual warfare that threatens your faith and your marriage. You know, I don't care how long you've been married, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. The enemy is the enemy. The pull of the world is always
going to be there.
Yeah.
It's always going to be there.
Yeah.
The temptation of the world. And the devil does not like success. The devil does not like anything that God has put together. God put your marriage together. The devil doesn't like it. He's going to try to tear it apart. And his easiest way to do it is by throwing those worldly things out there to suck you in.
Yeah. So you got to stand strong against the pull of the world. And the spiritual, that's got to be your prayer, you know. And then you, again, when Holy Spirit is leading and saying, don't do that, don't go there, you know, you can't pray and ask God to help you. And then
and when he gives you advice, you go 180 out, you go just the opposite. Why were you praying then? You already had your mind made up that you was going to go that crazy route.
All right. You have to pray that you would encourage each other with your words. Excuse me, Ephesians 4:29.
Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
So this kind of goes back to the life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
And, you know, the Bible talks about that tongue being that little powerful little thing that can destroy. And, you know, a lot of times, and I, you know, I've been there, you know, said stuff. And once you say it, like,
can't take it back.
You can't take it back. And, you know, sometimes it takes people longer to get over stuff than, you know, it may not take you as long, but it may take, you know, your spouse longer to get over what you said. And so that's why you got to pray that you will encourage each other with your words. And not use your words, it says, helpful for building others. You know, we should use our words to build people. And if our words are going to tear somebody down, then, you know, we should keep them to ourselves. And that was, you know, that comes with life and maturity.
And just being knowing each other. Like, my wife doesn't know this, and she thinks I don't listen to her. But I listen to her all the time. And sometimes it's just little simple things or crazy things she say. It gets me motivated. It picks me up. And I'll just say, okay, she loves me. And I'll just drive on from there.
Okay.
it's you don't have to say anything like go over the top. It's just like little unique phrases that you'll say.
Okay.
And it'll just lift me up.
Okay.
You won't even know.
Okay.
Like, I'll be down, but you'll say like little slight things, and I'll like, and it'll make me laugh, and I'm like, okay, it just gives me that boost of energy, and I'm like, and I'm right back on track.
Okay, well, that's what it says, that we would encourage each other with our words. And so you should be your spouse's biggest encourager, and your spouse should be your biggest encourager. And, you know, we have to remember those words, man. I mean, they used to say growing up, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words would never hurt me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not true. I don't even know who came up with that. Because words do hurt.
Words do hurt because people remember words.
Yeah. Words are powerful. That's yes. Why it says life and death is in the power of the tongue. All right. Number 9, pray that you will be patient with each other. Ephesians 4:1-3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. And so, yeah, this is one I have to work on. But I just think it's hormones.
Say it again.
This is one I have to work on. This is one I have to work on. I'm not going to sit here and say I am not the most patient person in the world. But I think it's hormones. I really do. I notice that when I drink a certain tea, and if I drink that tea on a regular basis, I just notice that I'm a lot more mellowed out and a lot calmer. And it has a lot to do with hormonal imbalance. And I think that when we recognize, you know, those types of things, and we can drink a tea or take a supplement or whatever, because the hormones really, really have an impact on your emotions and your mood and all that good stuff. And
your
so. But God tells us, you know, that you got to pray that you be patient with one another. And so, yeah, I'm working on that. Yeah.
I mean, patience come with time. Patience come with understanding each other and being able to relate, basically. And the patience thing, like I said, it'll just come with time. Like, I was patient with you from day one.
Oh, God.
Back when we was just dating, I was
patient
with you.
Oh, God.
And
I was not that bad, y'all.
But my patience won her over because she's here today.
Oh, God.
And she's a Smith.
I was.
For life.
I was not that bad. I really was
yes,
not.
You were.
No, I was not. I was not that bad. All right. I'm going to be patient with him, okay? All right. And we are at the final point, number 10. Pray that God will put a hedge of protection around your marriage. Wow. I think they were all good points, but this is so powerful. Psalms 91:1-2. Again, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him do I trust, will I trust, whom I trust, whatever translation it is you're reading from. But you got to pray that God will put a hedge of protection around your marriage. And that's so important to pray that prayer because the enemy's out there and he's always looking. The Bible said he's roaring about the earth like a lion. Yeah. It didn't say he was a lion, like a lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yes.
And, you know, so you have to pray and ask God, Lord, put a hedge around my marriage. Lord, put a hedge around my children. Lord, you know, you ask God to put that hedge of protection around because it will protect your marriage. It will protect your children. It will protect the people that you love, you know, from the plans of the enemy, what the enemy means to come in and destroy. And so, you know, these are some points. These are just some starting points this is not the know-all, be-all, end-all, do-all, but just some points if you're out there and you're saying, you know what, I don't know what else to do. You know, where I don't even know where to begin to start in terms of praying for my marriage. And these were just 10 prayers for marriage that we, you know, we thought was really good to give you a lay a good foundation. But prayer is important. It's key. And it's one of the things that we believe, we know is the reason why we've been able to be together for 28 years and still, you know, and be successful and be happy in spite of the hard times, in spite of the difficult times, in spite of, you know, those seasons, you know, those seasons that we've gone through. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Like, just summing it up, start in prayer and end in prayer. You can't go wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like it says, you're wrapped in that hedge from the front to the back.
Yep, because the hedge goes all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so you're covered on every side. And so that's our prayer for marriages today, that you would just allow God and the Word of God to work in your marriage and to do what, you know, God said that His Word would do, which was not come back void. But we know that when you pray those prayers, you know, you pray them with an expectation that they're going to accomplish what it is that God says it's going to accomplish. That when you pray those prayers, it's going to draw you closer to God, which means it's going to draw you closer to your spouse. That when you pray those prayers, that your marriage is going to be a testimony for somebody else to look at and see the faith that you had and how that faith is what kept your marriage together. It's going to be the prayers that you prayed is what's going to help you to fulfill your responsibilities as a husband, fulfill your responsibilities as a wife. It's going to be these prayers that you pray that's going to help you to be content wherever you and your spouse are and not try to keep up with the Joneses and put a stress on your spouse and your marriage because you're trying to have more, and this really not the time that God has for you to have that. You know, it there'll be a time, but it's not now. Pray this prayer that, you know, that you're going to run to Him when you have trouble. Pray for good health so that you can live long together. Pray that you're going to stand strong when the pull of the world, you know, I remember the movie War Room, and I remember the husband, he was out with this woman, and he was really leaning towards having an affair, and he had went out with this woman, and he was to the point where, like, he was going to have an affair that night.
He was.
And his wife,
he fell down.
His wife was in the war room. She was praying against, you know, this pull from this woman. And she went into spiritual warfare because this thing was trying to threaten their faith and their marriage. And remember, he got sick. Mm-hmm. He started eating the food and he got sick to his stomach.
Yes, he did.
And that's what drew him home. And that's the power of those prayers that you'll pray. Pray that, you know, these prayers will work to help you to encourage each other with your words. Pray that these prayers will help you to be patient with one another and that these prayers will hedge and protect your marriage so that you can have a long and happy and prosperous marriage. And so that sums it up for us. We thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned to find out how you can follow us on social media. And as we always like to end with our marriage mantra, and it goes a little something like this.
The more you put into your marriage,
the more you're going to get out of your marriage. Until next time, take care. God bless you.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio, see our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.